But first, we are still compiling data from 2021, and it was a big year. In a large part, it was a big year for American agricultural exports, in particular, meat. Dan Hallstrom, the president and CEO of U.S. Meat Export Federation, is joining us today. Dan, you got some new numbers from November. How did they look?
Yeah, good morning, Mike, and thanks for having me. Yeah, the momentum that we saw the last few months continues, especially on the beef side. We're looking at very large numbers, record on the value side for beef, a little over $1 billion exported globally in the month of November. And I think the encouraging thing is it continues to be broad-based growth. It's not just any one country or Japan, Korea, China, Central, South America, all saw good growth on the beef side. So, yeah, we're excited as we start the new year here.
That is exciting. We love to see folks around the world getting exposed to and getting used to the high quality of American protein. Dan, you mentioned we saw some good exports this last year to Asia in particular. You touched on South Korea, China, and Hong Kong. Of those places, South Korea and China, China's fairly new on the block for beef imports from the U.S. at least. How do you think they're going to fare looking out through 2022 with Australia coming back into the picture in a bigger way?
Well, that's a good point, not only for China, but for all of Asia. You know, we do estimate that China's going to have more, Australia's going to have more availability of production to go into Asia, including China, especially the last half of 2022. But we're still forecasting growth going into 2022 on the beef side and the pork side for that matter. It'll probably be, maybe not as aggressive growth. I think our forecast is somewhere in the 4-5% growth range off of this year's anticipated record. But still pretty optimistic though. I mean, U.S. beef, especially in China, is unique. Even compared to Australia. So I think to some extent, that high quality grain finished rich taste that we have is unique. And to some extent, there's not a lot of competitors for it.
That's true. And Dan, I think we need to spend a little bit of time talking about pork, and I want to get to those in just a second. But as you look back over 2021, we saw the pandemic change the way a lot of countries secure their protein needs. I think this maybe was especially true in China and Hong Kong with that explosion of African swine fever. As things normalize here post-pandemic, as we get through 2022, are there any political goals do you want to see made permanent in order to ensure that we can continue accessing these markets and, you know, particularly in Asia due to COVID?
Well, I think that if you look at access, you hit on it. Access is key, right? And, there's some, of course, we'd love to see some sort of progress on a phase two for China, which would help solidify that access. Of course, the consideration to get back into some form of TPP, things like this would be, of course, very, very interesting for us. But I think when you look at COVID specifically, there's some trend lines that are going to stay with us. I mean, one is the explosion in e-commerce. We've seen it explode in the U.S., but really it's a whole different paradigm in some of these foreign markets. You look at Korea. Korea is probably the gold standard when it comes to e-commerce platforms. There's been some studies saying that by the year 2025, 30-40% of their grocery sales could be in some form of e-commerce in Korea. So this is a trend that started well before COVID. The trend was more of a trend for convenience, for high quality convenience. Don't have to go to the store, you can just order it online, it's waiting for you when you get home. That's the sort of trends we saw pre-COVID. And then, of course, when COVID hit, the minimal contact aspect, the health concern aspect just even, gyrated the demand even that much more throughout the world. But I'm using Korea as the example.
Interesting. A lot of these changes are going to be here with us for some time. I want to circle back to pork. Exports were again strong in November. Dan, what'd you see on the pork side?
Yeah, we're very encouraged on the pork side. As we expected, China numbers were down as they repopulate, their herds due to ASF. But ASF is not gone. I mean, it's still an issue in China. And we are down about 50% year on year off of a very big year last year for China. But we made the difference up with other markets. You look at Mexico up 34%, Central America up 30%, South America up 24%. You know, the Latin American area of the world has just been booming for pork. And, you know, the food service business is pretty much getting back on track. Tourism is starting to pick up. So it complements pretty well the rest of Asia. You know, when you look at Korea is up. You have the Philippines up through the year. Some other key Asian markets are up. But the real driver on the pork side of making up this deficit from China has been Latin America. So, yeah, we're even with a year ago through 11 months. So we're figuring that we're going to be somewhere around steady to maybe just down slightly when the December stats come in, which to me is pretty remarkable off of last year's record when you consider China's down as much as it is. So I think the broad-based diversification of our export markets as a strategy is key.
Those Latin American markets that stepped in this past year, do you think this is a permanent shift? Will they be importing more meat for the foreseeable future?
I think they will be. And I think what we're seeing is, you know, COVID aside, what's happening in these markets? Well, you have an increasing middle class for the most part through a lot of these key markets. I look at a market like Guatemala, Panama, you go into South American area, Colombia. These markets are legitimate markets. You know, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about them very much. But I tell you, every month, we're talking about some of these key markets that, you know, like a Guatemala and a Colombia. So as these markets, the middle class grows, there's increased demand for high quality, safe products. And the U.S. is perfectly positioned to take advantage of that, those trends.
That is fantastic. And exports to Asia have stayed strong. South Korea really shined in that report.
Yeah, Korea has been phenomenal, you know, and you know, we've got the chorus agreement there. So once again, back to access and being on a level playing field. If we're able to do that as an industry, pork and beef, we can compete and compete very effectively.
Things to keep an eye on. This was Dan Hallstrom from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Thanks for dropping by and giving us an update, Dan.
My pleasure, Mike. Anytime.